Now, yesterday, everybody say yesterday. You see, tomorrow never comes. I'll tell you that. Everybody says, well, tomorrow. Well, when tomorrow's here, it's today. Are you here? So tomorrow never comes. That's what the Lord talks about now, faith. Because now means right now. Doesn't mean yesterday. It doesn't mean tomorrow. There's no time with God. One day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. You know, we put time on everything, but God doesn't operate that way. And I just want to share a thought that I brought out yesterday before I get into the message tonight. And that is on the Red Sea. So I wanted to see when this was first mentioned in the Bible. And I read in Exodus 10:19, Kevin, would you read that for us?
And the Lord turned a mighty strong west wind, which took away the locusts and cast them into the Red Sea. And there remained not one locust in all the coasts of Egypt.
Now, that's the first time the Red Sea is mentioned. Then I looked up the word red. And the word red in Hebrew means to come to an end. To come to an end, to cease, to perish, and to destroy. So when they came to the Red Sea, God was trying to get a message through to them that all their problems were coming to an end if they were to look to Him. That's what the word Red Sea means. So I just wanted to share that with you because it has a significance. And in Joel 2:25, Kevin, what does it say about the locust? Here the locusts were put into the sea. It was a plague. And the locusts went into the Red Sea. That's how God got rid of the plague, by putting the locusts there. And they drowned. So when the children of Israel came to the Red Sea, the Lord was saying, the same way I put the locusts there, that's the same way Pharaoh's going to go. That's called mercy killing. Everybody say mercy killing.
Mercy kill.
God had to get rid of him. It was a mercy killing. And he brought the children of Israel through, and Pharaoh thought he was going to follow them and cause a problem, but God had mercy on the children of Israel, and Pharaoh and his army drowned. So if you want to talk about mercy killing, that's what happened when they tried to follow the children of Israel through the Red Sea. So what does it say in Joel 2:25, Kevin?
I will restore to you the years that the locust hath eaten.
What is God going to do?
Restoring the years that the locust has eaten.
What did God do in Exodus? He put the locust where, Kevin? Into the Red Sea?
Red Sea.
And here in Joel 2:25, it's prophesied?
Yes.
He's going to do what, Kevin?
He's going to restore to you the years that the locust hath eaten.
This is your year of restoration. I'll tell you again, I said, this is your year of restoration. Do you hear me? I'll tell you that one more time. This is your year. It's coming to an end. I said your problems are coming to an end. We have the promise book here. All right? So what is God going to do, Kevin?
I will restore to you the years that the locust has eaten, the cankerworm, the caterpillar, and the palmerworm, my great army which I sent among you. And ye shall eat in plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God that has dealt wondrously with you. And my people shall never be ashamed. And you shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, that I am the Lord your God and none else, and my people shall never be ashamed. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit.
Wait, what is he going to do?
He's going to pour out his spirit.
When restoration comes, you see, there's first the restoration of finances. Because that gives you something to shout about. He brought them out. I mean, they were slaves. They were in bondage. They didn't have nothing. But he brought them out how, Kevin? With silver and gold?
With silver and gold.
And what else? There was not what?
There was no sick or feeble among
them. There was no sick. And there was no feeble among them. What else does it say?
In Joel, it says that it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy.
You got that? Your sons and your daughters are going to prophesy. You say, how's that going to be? Same with John the Baptist. He was in his mother's womb. Elizabeth was 6 months pregnant. And when Mary saluted Elizabeth, it said the babe leaped in her womb for joy. And when John was born, Kevin, what happened in his life?
John the Baptist was born. He was born. He already had the Holy Spirit.
He had the Holy Spirit. Now, if a baby can leap for joy because Elizabeth saluted, Mary was saluted, Elizabeth, and the babe leaped, you got that same anointing upon your life. I said, the words that you speak are going to bring life. Turn to someone and say, stop your praying. Say, your prayers have been answered. Now let me read something to you. It says in Exodus 15:22, so Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur, and they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. Now, that wilderness has the word, a name. And that wilderness, Shur, means limitations. And that's what God was trying to show them. He brought them out, but there was going to be limitations. Or the word Shur means a wall. Doesn't the wall limit you? You have to have a door to get through the wall, don't you? So it means wall, and that wall, it means limitations. So when they crossed the Red Sea, they came to the wilderness of Shur of limitations. Because God wanted them to recognize that what took place was from the Lord. Sometimes we just accept life for granted, like, well, look at the good that we have, but we forget where it comes from. They already forgot crossing the Red Sea. They were 3 days now out of a miracle. Waters parted on each side. And it says, he brought them from the Red Sea. And they went 3 days in the wilderness. And here they came to Marah, and they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. And therefore the name of it was called Marah. And the people murmured against Moses. Let me tell you. And they murmured against Moses. 3 days. I mean, the honeymoon didn't even start. You know, usually the honeymoon takes about 3 months. This honeymoon was only 3 days. Everybody say 3 days. 3 days and the honeymoon was over. Here they were complaining. Here God brings them out with miracle after miracle. Spares them from death when the death angel passed over Egypt where the blood was applied. And now they're crying. You see, God is showing that when he brings you out, there are going to be limitations in your life. And you see by this, they were already complaining. People don't like limitations. A lot of people like to give orders, but they don't like to take orders. Are you getting it tonight? Yeah, they were crying out to Moses and said, what are we going to drink? They murmured against Moses. You know what he did? He took it to the Lord. That's the best way to do it. He took it to the Lord, and he said to the Lord, Lord, showed him a tree. And he cast it into the waters, and that tree represents what we are going to be singing about on Easter here. Talking about the resurrection, the tree that Jesus was crucified on. And he saw the tree. And he took that tree and he cast it into the waters. And the waters were made sweet. Then it says here in the 26th verse, and said, If you will diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do what is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee. See, limitations. There is a, well, I believe that Jesus died for me. The bitter waters will remain sweet. But God now said, this is what I expect of you. This is what I want you to do. He said, I want you to hearken. I want you to listen to my voice. There's a little more to life than just saying, well, I've been to church in Easter time, or I've accepted Jesus as my Savior. He said, now that the bitter waters were made sweet, he said, now you got to hearken unto the voice of the Lord. You got to do what's right in his sight, and you got to give ear to his commandments. Keep all his statutes, and I will put none of these diseases upon thee. He wasn't talking to the whole crowd. He was talking to an individual because he said thee. I don't care what the crowd does. I'm like Caleb and Joshua. The crowd died in the wilderness. Did the crowd die? I said the crowd died. People are more concerned about what the crowd does. I don't go with the crowd. Caleb and Joshua, they said, we can possess what God hath promised us. That's what he said. I'll put none of these diseases upon thee, you, as an individual. That's who he's talking. Singular, the word thee, which I've put upon the Egyptians. When I brought thee out from the Egyptians, I am the Lord that does what? What does he do?
Heals thee.
He's the Lord that does what?
Heals.
He heals you. That's his nature. I don't know why people make it so difficult to receive a miracle. Is salvation a gift? Then healing is a gift. Above all things, the Lord says, that you may prosper. He wants you to prosper. He takes pleasure in your prosperity. Above all things, that you may prosper, that you may be in health. What good is money if you're not healthy? God wants you to be able to spend your money. What is money for? To spend. No, some people think money is to hoard up. Money is to spend. Every day God had a fresh supply of manna, didn't he? And the ones that hoarded it up, it bred worms and it did what? It stunk. And people hold on to something. And this is what the Lord is trying to teach people. He said, I want you to prosper, and I want you healthy so you can spend your money and you don't have to give it to the doctor. And you don't have to give it to the psychiatrist. And you don't have to give it to the lawyer. I want you to prosper. And I want you to be in health. Even as you what? Soul is your attitude. So then it says here, and they came to Elim, where there were 12 wells of water, and 70 palm trees, and they camped there by the waters. That is the oasis. In the desert, God now gave them the oasis. But they didn't stay there. You know, a lot of people like to just hang out in the oasis, you know. I wish we just could party all the time. Well, that ain't what life's about. Even when God put Adam and Eve in the garden, he said, you dress it and you keep it. He put them there for a purpose. He says, I want you to enjoy everything you have, but you got to take care of what I've given you. You got to take care of yourself. I know he's the Lord that healeth you. But if you don't eat properly, and if you let a spirit get a fear get a hold of you, I said, it's going to destroy your life. And if you don't rest properly, I said, it's going to destroy your life. So you got to take care of your garden. How many know your God's garden? Hallelujah. Everybody wants to camp out the oasis, you know, just, well, this is the easy way of life. My God, there's 12 wells of water. There's palm trees. Well, what a beautiful place to hang out, you know. We're going to retire in an environment just going to be just nice to live. But it says, and they took their journey for Elim, and the congregation of the children of Israel came to the wilderness of Sin, S-I-N. You know what that word sin means? Clay. They came to the wilderness of clay. Why did they come to the wilderness of clay? Because God wanted to mold them. He said, I am the potter and you are what? He says, I am the potter and you are the clay. Now, if you know anything about anything, about anything, about anything, you know that pottery has to go through the fire. You see, a lot of people, they want the blessings, but they don't want to go through the fire. In order to have pottery, he says, I am the potter and you are the clay. So the Lord said, you're not going to hang out at the oasis. Because you hang out the oasis, he says, you're going to lose everything that you have anyway. I'm going to bring you out to make you in what you should be. That's why he brought them from the oasis out into the wilderness of sin, which that word sin there in that scripture means clay. So after the pottery barrier, you put the fire on it. Then they have to do it with water.
Correct.
Pottery, fire, heat. Water, bake it in the oven, and if it's cracked, they throw it in the potter's field. That's what they did with the money that Judas wanted to return, you know, to the treasury. After he betrayed Jesus for 30 pieces of silver, he was complaining that a woman came and anointed Jesus' body. And he said, look at this waste. This money can be given to the poor. Jesus said, you always got the poor with you, so you might as well enjoy yourself. Thank God that he's blessed us. Can you say amen? Amen. But always, you know, people say, well, Jesus said, well, what about the poor? Jesus said, you're always going to have the poor with you. If some of you didn't pick yourself up and get out of the pig pen that you were in, you wouldn't be sitting here tonight. That's what the prodigal son had to do. He was living in a pig pen. He was out in the muck and the mire. And he said, what am I doing here? When he came to himself, you got to come to yourself. He said, what am I doing here when I can be in Father's house? And when he headed back to Father's house to show you how God wants to bless you, the Father had the best robe. Everybody say the best robe. It wasn't a hand-me-down robe. It was the best robe. Put a ring on his finger. Put shoes on his feet. Took him home and they killed the skinny calf. They killed what calf?
Fatted.
The fat calf. He picked out the best, the fat one. The veal. The fat calf. The veal. And it said there was music and dancing. Can you say praise the Lord? Amen. Music and dancing. Put the best robe on. Put a ring on his finger. Put shoes on his feet. Took him home. Had a party. Killed the fatted calf with music and dancing. So here, they're in the wilderness now of sin, which is clay. And they get out there and listen. And now they just left. Say they just left the oasis. Just left the oasis. And here it says in the second verse, and the whole, in the 16th chapter of Exodus, and the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured. I'll tell you it again. I said, and the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. You can't please people. God gave them the oasis. Gave them water to drink, brings them now out where the wilderness of clay, where he wants to do something, make something out of them, still complaining. So it goes on to say here, and they said to Moses, would to God we'd have died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt when we sat by the flesh pots and when we did eat bread to the full. For you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill the whole assembly with hunger. Then said the Lord unto Moses, I'm going to rain bread from heaven. Amen. You see, they didn't even, God brought them out with silver and gold, and the Lord is showing you what people worry about, you know, money. The Lord said, I'm going to give you bread. You don't have to go buy it. I'm going to rain bread out of heaven. And the people should go out and gather a certain rate every day that I might prove them whether they will walk in my law or not. Kevin, I want you to turn to something that I read that is very interesting in Matthew 13 and 20. I'm going to show you something that takes place here. This is Jesus here talking about sowing of the seed. What does it say in the 20th verse?
But he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, with anon, with joy, receiveth it.
There's folks, oh, my, they're so happy when they get the word. Oh, that's wonderful. You see people, they jump up and down, and, boy, they're having a big time. There's nothing wrong with that. But now these people heard the word, and they're happy, and they're rejoicing. But listen to the next verse. What happens after that?
Yet hath he not root in himself.
They don't have any root. You see, a lot of people, they want the joy, but they don't have the root, because when trouble comes, they lose their joy real quick. Now, somebody didn't hear me. You see, they have no root. You see, school of the prophets, you're getting some root. Everybody say root. There's a lot of people where we want to get a little joy and go to church on Sunday. We want enough to last during the week. But when trouble comes, what happens, Kevin?
It says he endureth for a while, but when tribulation or persecution arises.
Ah! When tribulation or persecution arises, what happens?
Because of the word, by and by he is offended.
Offended. You ever heard of always being offended? Something is always offending them. Always a problem coming up. They can't handle it. It offends them. They can't go on. One minute they're shouting, but the problem is they don't have any root. Put a value on things that are around. Continue reading there, Kevin.
He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful.
You see, people are aware of the cares of this world. They're interested in money. We got to get our house. We got to get our car. People are very aware of the things that are around them. But they're not aware of the promises of God. I tell you, they're not aware of the promises of God. They put a value on everything is around, but they don't put a value on the things of God. And that's why God was bringing them in the wilderness of sin, the wilderness of clay, because he wanted these people to start putting a value on what they've had. People put no value on the things of God. That's why when you give to God, it's a value. Everything in life has a value. Whether it be your home, your car, whatever, yourself, there's a value. Insure yourself. You got a value on it. You insure your house, there's a value on it. You insure your car, there's a value on it. You insure your jewelry, there's a value. You insure your fur coat, there's a value on it. But there's people that don't put a value on the things of God. Read that again, Kevin. The cares of the world, what happens?
It says here that he also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches chokes the word, and he becometh unfruitful.
Go ahead.
But he that received seed into the good ground.
Those that come to school to the prophets and get the seed in the good ground. You see, because they put a value, not on just material things, but they put a value on spiritual things. You see, so many people, they got a value, you know, success in this world. You know, we got to be successful. But Jesus said a man's life does not consist in the abundance of things that he has. That isn't what your life consists of, in the abundance of things. Everybody puts a value on the things that they own. Well, look how successful my children are. One of them be successful in the house of God. That's what should really make you happy. They deal with all kinds of people in the world that aren't nice people, but, oh, we can't go to church because, you know, we've been offended. But yet in the world, it don't offend them. You deal with a lot of people you have to deal with, whether you like it or not. I said, you getting the message? But when it comes to the things of God, right, well, can't do it. So what happens to those, Kevin, that the seed falls on good ground?
He that receives the seed into the good ground is he that hears the word and understandeth it, which also bear fruit.
If you hear the word, but you don't understand that, it's not going to help. That's why when they came out of Egypt, the lamb that was killed when the blood was applied to the doorpost, it said the lamb had to be roasted with fire. That lamb was the word of God, represented Jesus Christ. So what the Lord is saying, in order to get the word, you have to have a barbecue. That's what we have here. We have a barbecue service. We have some. How many know when you have a barbecue, you got to have fire? Everybody say fire!
Fire!
Without a fire, you don't have a barbecue. So the Lord said that you have to roast the lamb. It had to be. He didn't say make lamb stew. Did he say make lamb stew? He didn't say make lamb stew out of it. He said barbecue it. Roast the lamb. That's what he's trying to say. Unless the word of God is mixed with fire, with the anointing, fire represents the spirit of God. Unless there is a mixture there, you're not going to receive anything. That's the only way you understand it. It has to be by the Holy Spirit. The word and the spirit have to come together. Can you say amen? So when the people ask where you're going next, when they say, I'm going to a barbecue service. I mean, everybody loves a barbecue. Isn't that the big thing in life? Oh, we're going to have a barbecue. 4th of July, we're going to have a barbecue. You go on a picnic, where's the barbecue? Amen? So, there are people that do what? They hear, Kevin, but they don't understand?
Yeah, they hear the word.
They hear the word. And what happens after they hear it? Well, they don't understand it.
There are some that don't, but the good ground, they hear it and they understand it.
Oh! You know why they hear and understand it? Because there's fire here. A barbecue service. Amen. Worshiping the Lord. In spirit and in truth. And where's the fire burn within us? This is what happens. The devil tries to put your fire out during the week, but you come here and the fire gets rekindled. Oh! You ever touch a corpse? There's no fire. They're cold. I said, but when the Lord touches you, Jeremiah said, I wanted to quit preaching. He said, I wanted to quit preaching. Jeremiah, a prophet of God that said, my Lord, he said, even before and could be before conception, he says, the Lord has chosen me to be a prophet of God. What a great testimony. Before conception, he said, the Lord chose me to be a prophet. God had chose you, he's chosen you to serve him. Before conception, you were chosen. Ah! I said, I get excited about this. Amen. The choice wasn't yours. The choice was the Lord's. He chose you and ordained you that you're a peculiar people. That you should go and bring forth fruit. And that word fruit means that you should have a supply, continuous supply of blessings from the Lord. A tree that don't bring fruit, you chop it down, don't you? It's dead. You chop the tree down. But he said, I've ordained you, he said, to be alive, to bring forth fruit. So what happened, Kevin?
He that receives seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30.
Read that again. I like to hear this. I love it. Go ahead.
23rd verse. But he that receives seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word, he understands it, and which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30.
You see, we're not here to waste your time on a Wednesday night. We're not here to waste your time on a Friday night or a Sunday morning or a Sunday night or a Tuesday morning. Life is too short to waste time. Bible says redeeming the time for the days of evil. There's a redeeming of the time, the days of evil that we are living in. What we're doing here, we're buying time. So I said, we're buying longevity here tonight, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Every time you come and worship the Lord, he's added life, he's added health, he's given you longevity. Like Caleb and Joshua, they were redeeming the time because the people were evil, and at the age of 80, like Pastor Profeta. He said, I got as much strength as when I was 40. You're looking at an 80-year-old man here. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! God beautifies the meek with salvation. God gives you a beauty treatment. Can you say hallelujah? Works on the inside. They say beauty is only skin deep, but ugliness goes down to the bone. I tell you again, beauty is only skin deep, but ugliness does what? Where does it go? Goes down to the bone. That's why he says, oh, you ugly bones, you old dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. And when the old ugly dry bones hear the word of the Lord, I said, he breathes upon them and life comes into them bones. Hey! Hey! Oh! Hey! Jeremiah said, I want to quit preaching. Tired of the people. Tired of them. Tired of them murmuring and complaining. But he said, I couldn't. Because he said, his word was in my heart as a burning fire. Shut up within my bones. You can't even quit if you want. Turn to someone and say, it's too late now. Say, you've been in a barbecue service. Once you get in a barbecue service, it's too late. Too late now. Jeremiah been to a barbecue service. He said, I wanted to quit. Tired of preaching to people that all they do is murmur and complain. But he said, I couldn't. Because in my heart, in my spirit, his word was there like a burning fire. You can't even backslide if you want to.